I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dr. Supercoach Racing Podcast. My name is Watto and I'm joined with Justin, and we'll be exploring the Supercoach season for racing. I placed fifth last year in Supercoach Racing and looking to repeat the effort. I love all things Supercoach and kind of go with my gut.
My name's Justin Darcy, so I'll be co-hosting along with Watto here, and basically, my background is horse racing. I work in it as a living 7 days a week and working four or five different jobs at the moment. Started at a very young age, 2006 Melbourne Cup to be exact, tipping my prep teacher the winner of that race, Delta Blue. So I was hooked from that point in racing, and I just love every part of it, the breeding aspects, everything. And I've just wanted to work in the industry. And as soon as Supercoach Racing came up as an opportunity to play in, I thought I'd explore the app last year. And I was up there for a little bit, about 300th at one stage or 200th, and I dropped away a little bit come the final round with an average captain choice, but looking to bounce back this year.
Awesome. Yeah, it all comes down to the Melbourne Cup, really, I feel. And that round, the last three rounds are over the last week, so it gets pretty hectic. Just plugging the Dr. Supercoach League code. You can still join this league. They kind of act like groups, if anyone's familiar with other Supercoach formats. The league code is 258611. We have just under 300 people in it, and we'd love for you guys to get around it, get in, and see how you stack up against everybody else in the Dr. Supercoach community.
Absolutely. I mean, the more people that join, the more fun it is, and I guess it brings that more competitive side to it. And try and beat your mate, that's all I can say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Being even in top five in the group, top 10 in the group, you'd have some pretty good
brownie points.
Yeah, brownie points, exactly. Let's go into the rules. We did do this last week, but we didn't get the podcast out.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for that one, Watto. My mic was a bit dodgy, but thankfully got it working tonight. So a quick shout out to the missus. She's come to the rescue here, supplied the computer and microphone. So we're good to go this week anyway.
Awesome. Did you want to run us through some of the rules?
So basically, Dr. Supercoach, you pick a stable of eight horses, and the eighth acts as an emergency as such, so that horse will drop out as your lowest scoring horse of the round. Each Group 1, Group 2, Group 3 listed race handicap has assigned points to it. 40 for first in a Group 1, 32 for second, 24 for third, and so on. And then for a Group 2 first, 32 points for first, 24 for second, so on, and it just keeps dropping down per class of race. So we want to really be targeting these Group 1s and Group 2s especially, while there's still some cheap buys around.
Yeah, exactly. You want to do that at the start of the season as well. And targeting winners gets points on the board for you. And you'll also be able to grow your stable. So you start at $1.8 million last week. If you haven't started yet, you'll start with $1.8 million. In a Group 1 race, if a horse comes first or second, they will gain 50,000 or 25,000. In a Group 2 race, first only gets a price rise with $25,000, and so does in the Group 3 race, where first gets a $25,000 increase. There's also price reductions. So if a horse comes second last in a Group 1 race, they lose $25,000, or last, they'll lose $50,000. And in a Group 2 and 3 race, last will only lose $25,000. There's no price drop for second last. It's important to note that a priceless horse can't increase by over $500,000, or a price can't drop below $50,000. Also, another caveat to that is that if there is less than eight runners, so there's a bit of confusion. I actually had some confusion last week. I thought it was eight runners or less, but it's actually seven runners or less. There'll be no price drops in that field. So especially, we'll look at one of the Group 1s later on this week. There's actually no price drops because there's a field, a small field.
Yeah, I mean, so especially for that upcoming Group 1, being such a small field and being such a warm favourite in the race, there's going to be plenty of people that do have this particular horse in their stable, if not everyone. But yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into these Group 1s and seeing what little discussions and different ideas that we have coming into this Watto.
Yeah, awesome. So what's your season plan, Justin? You take a bit of a different approach to most people in supercoach racing.
Yeah, so basically, being my background in racing and doing form for different races, my background is purely going to be doing form work for Supercoach, so not necessarily going to be picking the favourites every round. It could possibly be a little outsider that I think has a chance that I've selected on top for my selections, but not necessarily everyone else will have them. So I might be able to provide those extra little horses that those 3-5% of people might have in their stable, rather than those horses that 30-40%. Of people having their stable.
And it'd be handy, especially for selections, probably a point of difference. Some weeks you might find that a lot of horses get picked. And Justin's really, he's pretty got his eye on a few horses every week that can really help you stand out.
Yeah, and I think the key as well is, well, from my form point of view, is looking ahead as well, not just looking at the week ahead, seeing at what trajectory horses could be on, such as one of my selections I'll be talking about later, where I think this horse could be in the future, and whether this horse I think is ready to peak in this upcoming race, or whether its peak performance is going to be in some races after, and whether I feel its odds in the market is going to reflect, I guess, the chances of the horse in the race, or whether I think there is another horse that could beat it, and it is vulnerable in Supercoach.
Yeah, exactly. I take a bit of a different approach to Justin. I love Supercoach in general, play it multiple forms, and I take the approach where it's a lot more based on odds and expected points. It's a bit more mathematical in the approach rather than focusing on the horse racing and its form. But I'm pretty much just playing the odds, going expected points of each horse, and trying to create a stable that I expect it to score well, and pretty much just score anyone else. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as me. I mean, form is not always going to come to the fore. You're going to get horses that do bob up and do shock you, and obviously me taking a set against some certain horses, it's going to be against me sometimes, but sometimes it pays off, and I guess for you last year especially, it definitely paid off using your formula, and maybe mine will this year, you never know. But yeah, it's just up to you, and we're just here to help you, guide you along a little bit, and hopefully find you a winner or two.
Yeah, that's the plan. How'd you go last week, Jackson? We'll just do a quick recap of round one for each of us.
Oh, so last week for me, I was very keen on Very Elegant here, and I just thought that she might be the better horse than Incentivized, but I was very well proven wrong there. She finished fourth in that event. I had her as my captain, so I didn't quite get the points I wanted in that race, but luckily I still had Incentivized in the stable. The Flight Stakes as well probably didn't go as planned for me. A couple of roughies got up in that race, but Star Tontes, who I was hoping would finish a little further back than she did, she finished third, which sort of bumped me down that little bit more. So I was probably 30 to 40 points behind where I was aiming for.
Yeah, I was in a similar position. I went the captain Very Elegant. I was pretty bold on that pick as well over Incentivized, and I kind of came back down to earth. I had a very good start to the Saturday, and then that race around there kind of brought me back down to the pack. I was probably about 40 points-ish off where I really wanted to compared to a lot of the scoring that was happening. And I finished in on 183 points, which ranked me in the top 20%. But really, it's just round one. You want to be consistent and you want to focus on cash gen early on.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the most important thing, trying to get that extra little bit in your bank as well for the future, especially come Melbourne Cup time when you're going to really want just about seven or eight horses in your stable that are running in the Melbourne Cup. That is when this point in the competition now really comes to the fore, of when we've built that early bank and then we can spend it on the cup.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find later rounds where these more expensive horses are running in the group ones, and it comes to fruition in the Melbourne Cup where there are a lot of pricey horses. You really want to be kind of stockpiling that cash so you can land multiple 400 plus K horses and not have to kind of make a decision on two horses that you really want. And then you're 50K, 100K short. It's very important for the starting rounds, especially, to grow that cash.
Yeah, spot on. But, yeah, I think we just get stuck straight into these group ones now. I mean, it looks a great day's racing ahead. And what have you got any thoughts at all for the Spring Champion Stakes in Sydney to kick us off?
Well, I cannot go past Profondo. Very cheap at 50K. It's practically begging for that eighth spot. They do kind of, the stable is sorted by money as well. So Profondo kind of gets auto-selected into that eighth spot. Don't worry though, you're top seven. You don't have to select an emergency, it'll be top seven scores count as well. But I really like Profondo. Rated very highly in this race, and I believe it's the favorite from the bookies.
Yep, that's correct.
What about you? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, for me, it's obviously looking a three-horse race here between Profondo, yep, Head of State, and Never Being Kissed. I mean, there are a couple of other horses that are a little bit longer odds that I feel can run well, but do I think they're winning chances? Probably not. I'd prefer to stick with the proven horses, but for me, especially the boys, Head of State and Profondo. Of course, Profondo is only a 50K buy. Head of State, he beat Profondo last start, so he has to be given a massive chance, and that Gliming Stakes form generally shows up really well in the Spring Champion. Head of State's 150 grand, so of course he is very affordable, and although he's three times the price of Profondo, I think he is a must if you're going for a second horse in this race. I've got massive question marks over Never Being Kissed, although she won at Group 1 level last week. It was against the fillies, and a little common denominator that we've seen throughout this three-year-old crop, and of course when they were two-year-olds, is that the fillies have been well below the boys, rating four and five lengths below. So the boys is where I want to be here, and hopefully the two boys can get it done for us.
Yeah, exactly. Never Been Kissed surprised a lot of people with that win as well. You'd note as well, Never Been Kissed at 150K as well, if you want to take that. The only caveat to that is this week we don't really run into many cash issues. There are a lot of good picks that are priced very well, and we don't really have much concern with cash really at all. What are your thoughts about that, Jackson? Did you have any, when you were trying to build your roster, did you have any issues with keeping it to the eight?
My salary that's still left is well in excess of zero, so that just shows you that this week being the 3-year-olds running around, they're not going to be expensive buyers. So, again, yep, like we mentioned before, it's just making the most of that cash generation of the Profondos and the Head of States gaining $50,000, $25,000 onto their prices already, and using that later on in the carnival when the better quality horses are running around.
Yeah, precisely. And on Head of State as well, jockeyed by James McDonald, he was on fire last week, and he's probably the in-form jockey running around. Definitely helps.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a great jockey in form as well.
Yeah, spot on. I missed out on him last week. I took Jai McNeil. I thought he had some real plum rides in town in Melbourne, but J-Mac was the way to go, and I think, again, he's looking the way to go here.
He's looking even better this week as well. I don't know how.
Yeah. He's got those real plum rides again in the spring champion. He's got head of state, so he looks certain to run in the top three there. He's got some favourites throughout the day. Paul Lely's one of them, who's earlier in the card, and he looks a very good chance in that. So that's automatically 4 to 6 points, I think, he's got off the bat without even thinking too much.
And he's running 10 races again at Randwick, so it's really, really impressive what he's doing to kind of set up some form for this spring
exactly
carnival.
And it gives you that good chance to at least have an opportunity in every race to gain points, because of course he's not on favourites throughout the whole day, but at least throughout the card you've got something to barrack for, and at least another couple of points that could in the end prove the difference between you finishing, I don't know, maybe top 20 in your league compared to top 10.
Yeah, exactly. All those points build up over the eight rounds, I believe. It is 8 rounds. And it's also good to, when you're watching listed or handicap races, they tend not to be very super coach friendly. But they're great to just follow your jockey that you picked, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think many people, he was obviously a big fan favourite last year, J-Mac, and I think most people will probably follow him again this year. He's got some plum rides coming up in the future weeks as well, such as Nature Strip and the Everest. So he's just, being Sydney's best jockey and arguably Australia's, he's going to be popular and he's going to be on the best mounts every week.
Yeah, precisely. Moving on, we can go to Caulfield now, where there's three group ones. What are you looking at first?
The first group one here we'll be looking at is the Might and Power, previously known as the Caulfield Stakes. This is a weight for age event run over 2,000 metres, generally a lead up to the Cox Plate, and often we have the Underwood Stakes form come to the fore, which is exactly what it does here with what really looks a one-act affair in Zaki. He was just dominant in that race. He's extremely short in the market and frankly looks unbeatable unless bad luck really does strike. But he's very short price favourite for the Cox Plate as well, which is the Australia's premier weight for age race. He'll be just about peaking here. Last time he ran over 2,000 metres in Australia was in the Doomben Cup, where he produced a near Winx-like rating. So he's rating in the top three or four horses that Australia's seen in the last 10 or so years, which is just incredible stuff. And we know 1,800, he was very good last start in the Underwood. He laid in a little bit in the straight, but that Melbourne way of going now, he's got that under the belt. He's going to improve into this. He had a gallop around Caulfield during the week. I just cannot see anything beating him here, and hopefully into the Cox Plate as well. He was just this unstoppable freak that we all hope that he is.
Yeah, and he's at 450k as well. So looking at the whole 50k boost, if he wins, and he looks amazing. Like, I would put him in your team straight away. Don't even change it. Honestly,
yeah.
Like, that's how good he is looking.
Every man and his dog's going to have him in his team this week, I think, because...
Yeah, you do not want to lose out.
Yeah, these are valuable points that if you do think, oh, I'm going to try and risk it this week, don't do it in this race. Because by risking it, you are literally risking dropping well back in the field, and most people are going to have him as his captain as well, so there could be an 80-point turnaround there that you're missing out on.
Yeah, and there's no risk as well. It's a small field, only 6 running, so there will be no price drop if something crazy happens, he won't lose price.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anyone else running in the Might and Power?
For me personally, I'm not taking anyone else, but I know plenty of people are talking about taking Probabil. She's a proven star mare of the country, probably behind Very Elegant. She's a 3-time Group 1 winner. 2,000 metres for me, I feel, is her big question mark coming into it. She hasn't been at her best over this trip, you can certainly say, and a little bit of predicted rain around I don't think will help her case either. With no effort and Holmesman out in front, they're going to be bowling along, and I just can't see them going at a real walking tempo like we saw in the Underwood Stakes. So most people might look at the Underwood and go, oh, she ran 1,800 metres that day, what's an extra 200? Well, for this particular horse, if we're going on a little bit of a clip, I think it could be risky. I mean, based on class, she should run second, but I just think having her as... I guess your certainty to pick up 32 points in second place, I think there's more risk with taking her than some other runners in maybe some group twos throughout the day.
Yeah, precisely. Probabil has been in and out of my team. Very pricey at 475 as well. Kind of deters a lot of people. But you could definitely get away with just running Zaki in this race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most people are going to have him, and it's just a matter of whether you want to pop in Probabil or... if you think that maybe a homesman or nonconformist can finish in that second spot and you clearly mark them above the rest of the field other than Zaki, then I'd say go for it. I wouldn't stop you from doing that. And of course, Probabil, I'm not going to deter you away from saying don't pick her, because she should finish second based on the quality of horse that she is. But I just feel that there are a few little risks with her going into Saturday, with some negative factors that she hasn't proven that she can get past before.
I do like Nonconformist as well. Rides really well at Caulfield. I think it has a couple wins there. So it's a very good smoky. Not many people will be on Nonconformist.
Yeah, he's running in this race as a little tip over run for next week, just to get his fitness right up to the mark. He's got a ballot exemption into the Caulfield Cup, so that'll be his main aim for the prep. But definitely, I've got Nonconformist in my own selections for second. So 100%, if you want to go Nonconformist, I'd say go for it. He is an absolute fantastic chance of running on and relishing, especially what I think will be a good speed out in front.
Yeah, exactly. Great at 2000 as well, which is probably the downside for Probabil, as you said.
Yeah, you can go for multiple horses in this race. It's outside of Zaki, you could, if you really had something against Probabil, it's just put him in a bag and pull one out and see which one you
get.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And you can't really go, you could go for three horses in this race as well, but it kind of prices you out a bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And there's so many other good selections in the other group ones. I don't think it's worth the risk.
Yeah, and when we talk about building that bank for future weeks, this race is probably a perfect example, because being plenty of these horses are going to be running in the Caulfield Cups, Cox Plates, these are the prices that we're talking about when we get deeper into the spring. So you're going to want to be getting these cheaper Group 1 winners early, building that bank and making sure that you can afford more of them when you need them.
Yeah, exactly. Cash gen has to be a priority. Not over points, but definitely has to be in the back of your mind. Moving on to race 8, who are you favouring? I like the two front runners, Arturus.
Caulfield Guineas, I mean, it's a premier three-year-old race in Australia. It's the stallion-making race for all these colts and geldings, so all of them will be here to win. None of them, maybe outside Forgot You, will be looking onwards to any other races as such, but Animo, for me, he's my on-topper in this race. He was awesome in the Golden Rose, flashing home down the outside on a day where it was very hard to do that. So I was really impressed with his efforts in that. It just showed how good of a three-year-old he really is. Artorias ran fourth in that race, so he has to make up a little bit of ground on Animo, but he has that X factor. He got a massive smack on the turn in the Golden Rose, and he was sort of heading out Newcastle way on the bend, but managed to straighten him back up and head back towards the field inside the 300, and he really relished the 1400 metres and attacked the line hard, looking that maybe the 1600 metres is going to be up his alley. But from barrier 2, he's just got to have his race manners right and not get too keen behind horses, because Animo, who is the ultimate professional, will have his measure if Artorias is not on his A game.
Yeah, exactly. And in a field of 17 at barrier 2, you can kind of get stuck. There's a bit of a lot of risk in the Artorias pick.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, although I do think they are the two standout selections of the race, Artorias for me is one of those horses that has all the talent in the world, and he could very well go on and bolt in this race because he could be just the best in it, but his manners have just let him down before, and that is a little concern. For me, I will be taking him just to make sure that I do have Animo and Artorias in the event, because I feel they're the only two winning chances, and I don't want to be losing if I don't have one in my stable. But I think there is a risk if you're looking at leaving one out. I wouldn't be leaving out Animo purely because Artorias can let himself down on occasions.
Yeah, exactly. And Animo at 225k, Artorias at 175k, both very cheap. And if you're only taking one in the Might and Power, which is Zaki, you kind of have that extra position to go with both of them.
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, that's exactly what I've done. I've got them both here, only gone Zaki in the Might and Power. So for me, I feel like that's been my best move coming into this race. I feel Artorias and Animo are a better chance of running first and second than what Probabil is of definitely running second. So that's sort of what swayed my choice that way.
Yeah, and they're both group ones, so it's the same amount of points for each place. There's more risk given a higher field that they might, something might happen, they might place badly and lose some cash. But ultimately, you're banking them to place in that top three. And if you think they can do that better than Probabil and has a better chance of doing that, you might as well go for it.
Yeah, exactly right. But also something important to note, Coastwatch has been a late scratching from the Guineas. He'll be heading towards Sydney to a Group 2 there where he's a short price favourite. We'll talk about that one later, but just to mention, Coastwatch is a scratching in the event.
Yes, it's important to, when you're running your set, even if you set your stable tonight, tonight would be Thursday, yep, or tomorrow, always check Saturday before lockout for any late scratchings. It can catch you off guard a bit.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been caught out before in previous seasons where I've done a similar style of game to this, and I mean, you just got to be wary. And I guess that's the importance of this emergency runner too, where one does drop out, and if you do happen to have a late scratching on the day when lockout's already started for this game, at least you've got that substitution horse.
Yeah, exactly. Last year, we had a bench spot, I believe it was. I'm pretty sure you could emergency. But still, most of people were picking that as a 50 to 100k horse. They weren't really trying to get 8 great horses and kind of one score drop off.
Yeah, and I mean, once we get to the stronger horses of the competition, that's the type of formula we want to think about using. But right now, while there's still plenty of cash hanging around and we can get cheap horses, there's probably no need to really dive into that too much, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed. Especially this week, like, there's plenty of value out there. You don't really have to really go picking for that 8th horse to try to better your roster. It's already there. With Profondo as well, at a great pick, and he's 50k, it's easy to just pop him in that 8th spot.
Yeah, exactly right. He's going to be one of the safe selections of the day, along with Zaki, and then it's just a matter of trying to choose which group ones you want to target and how many you want in each.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on to the Toorak Handicap, you have a few horses that you like in there.
Yeah, so for me, for my own personal selections, I've gone with the favourite, I'm Thunderstruck, on top. I just feel that he should have won the Sir Rupert Clark last start. Had he won that, he gets a weight penalty coming into this, so he's only carrying 52 kilos. He could have been carrying 53.5, 54. That's a massive difference in horse racing. The key is for him as well that's really crucial here. He draws towards the inside. He drew wide last start, had to go back to last, had too much ground to make up on the turn, as well as having some traffic hazards ahead of him. He now draws barrier 4. He can settle that little couple pairs closer, and at the end of the day, that would have made the difference in the Sir Rupert Clark. He's going to lap up the mile, and I just feel he's going to be the hardest to beat in this race from Elephant. He's an interesting one coming into this because he's unproven at this level. He's got to carry 55.5 kilos, so he's carrying a reasonable horse's weight in a handicap anyway, but he's done nothing wrong to suggest that he can't win this or can't be competitive in it. But he's $200,000 in Supercoach. I had him in and out of my stable. I ended up siding with him out of it purely because I thought there was that little risk factor with him definitely running second, with some other smart types in the race such as Stefane. I like Asar at a big price as well. He's one of my favourites and I've stuck with him for a long time, but again, he's one that I think can bob up with a lightweight, and there's a couple others in it. Dice Roll, he ran well in a Sir Rupert Clark last start running second, so he's not racing average horses as such, and for 200 grand, there are some other selections on the card as well that I feel might be a better chance of scoring the 32 points than Elephant definitely is. But, I mean, he could get second, and it would be no shock to me. It wouldn't be a shock to me if he won the race either, because he's just got that little bit of X factor, but it's, again, one of them races to me where there are lots of risk factors going into it, and if you go the wrong way, then again, that could be season over.
Yeah, it's a very strong field, definitely. So there is quite a bit of risk compared to some other races. I have both Elephant and I'm Thunderstruck at the moment, but my stable is it's pretty much a rotation wheel. Kind of cost me last week, but yeah, I make changes pretty much all Saturday morning.
You got to take in track conditions and stuff as well. Elephant's a horse who does handle all track conditions, so he's probably not one that you're going to have to swap out too much unless there is another horse that you like on the program that you would rather in instead of him. But again, if anyone was looking to put Elephant in their stable, I couldn't say don't pop him in, because he does have that X factor that he could be anything and you just don't know till he's actually tested in this grade, which he will be.
Yeah, exactly. And the great thing with Elephant, I'm Thunderstruck, both at 200k, there's a lot of other horses around that mark in our Supercoach pricing, so you can flip them in and out quite easily.
Yeah, and especially with the three-year-olds, these three-year-olds that are running, especially in the Group 2s, Elephant is a horse that you can swap out, put him in. You can swap out the three-year-olds, put Elephant in. It's just a matter of whatever way you want to go. I mean, we're not going to tell you what you have to do, but we're just here to give you a little bit of help as to where there may be some little edges in the Supercoach market.
Yeah, precisely. And with Group 2s, you're only losing 8 points on first place. There is the bit of the difference in cash gen. But if you really like a horse in a Group 2 race over a Group 1 race, like a horse like Elephant, you might not pick. Go for it, honestly. We were shown last week that it actually can work out better for you.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, Wada. You couldn't have said it any better.
So going into the Group 2s, you wanted to talk about the Fox Stakes.
Yeah, so race number 4 in Sydney. I feel like this is definite horse to put in, Coast Watch. Of course, I mentioned he was scratched from the Caulfield Guineas. He's found a very winnable Group 2 here. He was placed third last start in the Golden Rose, splitting both Animo and Artorias. We think those two can win a Group 1, and this is a much weaker Group 2, and if he's anywhere up to that type of form that he ran to in the Golden Rose, then I do expect him to be winning in for $200,000 for a horse that I feel is a very good chance and an odds-on chance in this type of race, then I have to be putting him in, don't I?
Yeah, exactly. He looks great. Obviously, scratched in the Caulfield Rust to go to here, and James McDonald, what do you know? He's riding another...
Our favourite boy.
Riding another favourite. It looks great. You can kind of, like, a few people are deciding Coast Watch or Elephant. It's really up to you, very similarly priced.
Yeah, exactly. Coast Watch is $150,000, so you're saving that 50 grand there, but this week you're not going to have to worry too much about saving. It's just a matter of whether you think Elephant is a better chance of running first or second, or whether you think Coast Watch is a better chance of winning that race in Sydney.
Yep, exactly.
And race number 5 is the other Group 2 I did want to have a look at. This is the Roman Consul Stakes. And the Godolphin Galloper Paul Lele is the one I want to be with here. He's unbeaten at this track, and he's going to be Godolphin's Everest horse if he does win this race. So I feel that it's going to be very important for him to win. James Cummings will select him to run in the Everest. And he's got form around in the Congo. So his first up run, he beat that horse. Second up run, he was beaten by in the Congo. In the Congo, won the Golden Rose, beating Animo and Artorias. So again, we've got that Group 1 three-year-old form coming to the fore. And I just feel that this is going to be his race to win. He was enormous from the back last start and on an on-paces day. Came down the middle of the track. He wasn't beaten too far. And I just feel that although he's not exactly looking a one-out chance in the market, he is the type of horse that I want to be with going forward and looking on to where he could be. So as I mentioned, I sort of look at where horses could be running in the next few weeks. Paul Lele is one that will be running in the Everest if he does win. I don't feel Godolphin will want to put Trekking in that race because he is seasoned and he's been seen to be not as good as some of these other horses in the race. Paul Lele has that X factor. With a lightweight in the Everest, he could be very competitive. So the team will want to be seeing him winning anyway this week. So that's why I've put him in my stable.
Yeah, he's been in and out of mine. He's at 200k. For me, he just misses out for Coast Watch for mine. I just find 50k in it I can spend elsewhere. Unlike yourself, I've gone Probabile. So I need a bit more cash. And that 50k kind of just set me up perfectly. I'd love to select them. It is how it is.
Yeah, when you sort of have limited selections. But yeah, let's talk about captains as well. I think most people will have this horse as their captain for the day. Zaki being the biggest winning chance of the whole day, based on what the bookies are saying. Personally, I don't think he can be beaten in the race as long as he's got luck on his side as well. But I can't see him being beaten anyway. And I feel that most people will be having Zaki as their captain and jagging that 80 points early on.
Yeah, he's very well liked in the Supercoach community and in racing. And I think if you don't captain him, it's going to be very risky. A lot of people, pretty much just probably a majority of the competition, are going to captain him. He's very favoured. I just see it as a massive risk not to captain him.
Yeah, exactly, because there are other winning chances in these other group ones. It's not just a one-act affair. This literally looks like a one-act affair. And I think the stats on here don't lie. I'm just having a look now, and we're still 2 days out from when this round actually starts, and 27% of people have already got him in their stable, and considering most people probably don't look till tomorrow night, the fact that 27% of people already have him in just tells us that he's going to be the banker that everyone's saying is going to win on Saturday.
Yeah, well, the stables don't reset during a round, so it's good to check on them. Because looking at the most owned, Incentivize is still 44% owned. He's not running this week. Obviously, he ran last week. 44% of teams that picked him, which he was very heavily backed last week, have not changed their roster. So it kind of supports your theory that most people, they're changing their stables on Friday or on Saturday morning, because the odds don't come out until mid-Wednesday, I believe. So a lot of people make their judgments later in the week.
Yeah, exactly. Another little interesting note I've just found here on the stats as well. So we've got Zaki clearly is the most favoured horse this week, with already 27% of people owning him. Animo, currently 20% of people own him in their stable. That will rise, of course. Profondo, 19% of people own him. That, again, is going to rise. What I'm finding interesting here, which sort of is telling me that many people are going to be picking this horse over some of the Group 2s, and that is Elephant. He's currently owned by 15% of stables and ranked 10th as the most, the most owned horse in Supercoach. So to me, that's telling me that people are going to want to be playing in the Toorak and hoping that his X factor rises to the fore, rather than playing the likes of Paul Lele and Coastwatch, or even Probabile in some of these other Group 1s and Group 2s.
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of make a bit of a judgment around those most owned horses. It'll get more stable as we get closer to lockout. And you can kind of, if you want to try to make up points against majority of the field, you can kind of go against those top 10 horses.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, again, it's just all individual judgment and whatever you think is going to happen. I mean, you can base your selections on what everyone else has in their stable, which you can see if you scroll down to the bottom of the My Stable area on Supercoach. But for me, on form, I'll probably be leaving Elephant out playing the Group 2s. But obviously, people are thinking very different to me and sticking with Elephant and saying that he can win or run second in the Toorak.
Moving on to jockeys, I know we talked about one particular individual. Any jockeys you fancy other than McDonald, who's probably going to be the most selected once again?
If I'm honest, probably no one else, I don't think. Based off last week, he was just dominant, and he's got even better rides this week. I wouldn't be suggesting taking any other jockeys unless you just wanted to bank 3 points with Craig Williams. He's got a couple of other good rides throughout the day as well. He's on Zaki, of course. But I couldn't deter you from taking James McDonald, who has just a host of chances on the day.
Yeah, exactly. I think the issue, a few of the bigger name jockeys in Melbourne, so Craig Williams and Damien Lane, they're only on 8 races as well. So James McDonald, he's going 10 races and he's on a lot of good placed horses, it's hard to just step away from him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one that a few people might start to get around is Damien Oliver. We know he's a big-time jockey, probably one of Australia's best ever jockeys. Plenty of people are going to like his rides on Saturday. He does have some Real plum rides, and although they're probably not as favoured as J-Mac, people love Ollie as a jockey, and I wouldn't be shocked if a few go with him as well.
Yeah, he's very well known as well. If you don't know much about racing, which I don't know much about racing, compared to Justin, that is, I love Damien Oliver, and he might see a selection in my side in a few weeks or so. If it kind of pans out, but the way James McDonald is going right now, you can kind of just keep him selected every week.
And I don't think you can go too wrong with that either. It's probably the safe play. Plenty of people are going to have him. If you get to a point of the competition where you need to find an extra 1 or 2 points, you could probably look for other jockeys and hope that J-Mac has an off week. But at the moment, safe play is J-Mac. He's just banking points, and he should again this week.
Yeah, you're probably better off going for a riskier horse rather than going against James Mack. I think that's all for tonight. Do you agree, Justin? Do you want any other racing that you'd advise people to watch on the weekend?
I think the Scalacci Stakes is going to be an absolute ripper. We've got September Run in that event. So it is a Group 2 if you're pretty keen on September Run or Dosh or Ballinipatino, one of those horses. I would say go ahead, put them in your stable. It's just one of them weeks this week where there's a host of selections where you can put in and budget's not a problem. Of course, it's going to be a real lightning race, 1,100 metres, September Run. She's an absolute star. I'm keen to see what she's going to do here. There's going to be a hectic tempo in front, but September Run for me, I've always loved her and I feel that she's going to get back to her winning ways and possibly even gain one of the last Everest slots if she does win and race next week.
Yeah, awesome. Got to catch out. So that, if you missed it, that is race 5 Caulfield, isn't it?
Yep, yes, exactly. Yes. 2:35 p.m. So make sure you're tuning in watching that race. And of course, if anyone does have any questions for myself or Watto, you can find me on Twitter at JustinDarcy7. And Watto?
I'm at Watto_4. So apparently there's 3 more Wattos above me. But yeah, definitely tune in, ask us any questions, or if you want to chat any supercoach or horse racing, we'd definitely be down to talk.
Absolutely, we're always here to help, and like I said before, we're not here to tell you what to do, we're just here to lend a hand and hopefully lead you, or give you an idea of some of the selections that plenty of people will be picking, and of course what we'll be picking for the coming week.
Yeah, exactly. That's it for us. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.